Kedusham Shvius, Perek Yom HaHalachas Hayin. Avnei Kosef, Bos Mikomagan. You can take rocks that are shoulder rocks. I mean, they're so big that you have to carry them on your shoulder. You can take them from any place. And the reason is because if they're so large, everybody understands that you're taking those rocks in order to do building with. You're not trying to clear your field. And therefore, there's no one will be concerned that it won't look at all like you're doing the wrong thing. Kovlon, Kavlon, to which read it, that means it's a person who's only responsible for the field as an oris. He's not the owner, he's just a sharecropper who makes a little money by planting, and part of the produce goes to him and part goes to the owner. So that person, we say, doesn't care so much about the field. So also maybe Mikomakam, he's only sort of like a renter, so nobody thinks that he's working so hard to make the field better. And therefore, if he takes rocks out, people also realize that he's doing it for building and not for fixing up the field. The Elohim Avnei Kosev, what does it mean, Avnei Kosev? The shoulder rocks. So the first person says, the first time it says, Kol She'en Yechol Linoto Ba'achas Yad, anything that's so big that you can't take it in one hand, the Remeir says, that's what it means, a shoulder rock. You have to carry it on your shoulders. Rabbi Yossi says, no, Avnei Kosev Kishmon. Avnei Kosev is like their name implies, which is that you carry it on the shoulder, which means Kol She'en Yechol Shalosh Ashtayim, that's one gear, or Shtayim or Shalosh, Al-Kosev, they're so big that it's not just that you can't carry them in one hand, you have to put it on your shoulders, they're even heavier. But when we say on your shoulders, it doesn't mean you have to carry one, it doesn't mean it's so big that you have to carry one on your shoulders at a time. Even if you carry two or three at a time, that's already, so it's a shoulder type stone, not the type you're carrying in your hands at all. Now the Mishnah says like this, Haboyin Geder, Beinoy Vein Rishas Rabim, the person builds a wall between his property and the Rishas Rabim, so then Mutul Hamik at Hasela, he's allowed to dig down deep all the way down to the rocks, and because no one thinks that he's trying to improve his field, because since he's doing it at the border, it's obvious that he's doing it just as a way of building a fence. He's preparing to build a fence. It's not the typical, the kind of place where you'd be chushish that the person is trying to improve his field. Ma Yaseb offers, what should he do with this dirt as he's digging down to build his fence? What should he do with the dirt that he digs out? Because if he puts the dirt someplace, it'll look like he's trying to, you know, fix up his field by putting dirt there. So the first person says like this, Rabbi Shu's going to say this, so Rabbi Shu's Rabbi, he makes the pile on Rabbi Shu's Rabbi, because obviously, in Rabbi Shu's Rabbi, not trying to fix up the Rabbi Shu's Rabbi, you know, for planting, you don't plant the Rabbi Shu's Rabbi, so he puts it into the public area, so Rabbi Shu's Rabbi, umaskinai, and then once he's finished with his building, he fixes it up, meaning, you know, he can't leave a pile of dirt in Rabbi Shu's Rabbi, so he he smoothens out the piece of dirt, the pile of dirt, so that it doesn't disturb the Rishas Rabim anymore. That's where he puts it. That's what Rabbi Shua. That's what Rabbi Shua says. Rabbi Kiva Aymer says, Rabbi Kiva argues, and he says, Kederch, that you, Rabbi Kiva's basic point is going to be that you can't just put a pile of dirt in Rishas Rabim. So Rabbi Kiva says like this, Kederch She'em, Makalakim Rishas Rabim. Of course, you can't, just like you can't do things to ruin the Rishas Rabim, you can't do things to ruin a Rosh Hashanah. It's a public area. You have no rights to do that. Kachlo Yisak, and you also can't do, you can't fix it up. That is to say, your person is not allowed to say, I'm going to put down the dirt in Rosh Hashanah as a big pile, and eventually I'll straighten it out. You're not allowed to do that. Rather, you can't use Rosh Hashanah in that way. My asset about first of all, according to Rabbi Kiva, what do you do with the dirt? So he says, you pile up in your field, but of course we had mentioned that's a problem because it'll look like you're trying to fix up your field. So you do a Kedera Chamasab, like we had, earlier in the parak, that the people were trying to clear out the garbage from their field. They pile up in their special three piles, all kinds of special rules of how you're supposed to put it out, and ways to make it look like you're not trying to fertilize or fix up the field. And then the mission ends off and says that a mission of din had nothing to do with Shemitah, and that is v'chein ha'choyfer bar v'sil chumara. If a person is digging out some kind of a pit or a cave, and he's digging also, so there also, Rabbi Kiva says that he's not allowed to put his stuff into the Rosh Hashanah, even temporarily. That's not a din of Shemitah, it's a din of the use of the public area. He's not allowed to use it in that way to temporarily store his, you know, his dirt that he's digging out, or his rocks, he's now allowed to store this temporarily, because that ruins it's not good for the Rosh Hashanah. Now the Rosh Hashanah starts like this. Avnei Kosev, Bos Mikomakam, the Mishnah had said, you could take these shoulder rocks, these larger rocks from any place, And the Yerushalmi explains what that means is any place means a few mitos shalom, even from his own property, that we had a few mishnayos earlier, that when a person takes rocks out of his own property, it looks more suspicious because it looks like he's trying to fix up his property. So we're saying that these large rocks you can take even from your own property. Kablon, maybe mikamokim, and the kablon can take any kind from any place. That we explained to me. As Yerushalmi says, a few pachos mi'al mikasek. Even if they're smaller than these shoulder rocks, that they're so these are not so big. But since the person is only an arus, he only is a sharecropper to use the field. No one's going to think that he's trying to fix up the field so much. Then the Gemara's like this. The Mishnah had said, "Habayni get the beinu b'rishu rabban." Person built the wall between him and the rishu rabban. So the Gemara, the Yerushalmi says like this: Rav Chiya b'shem Rav Yochanan says, "Lo yishanu ela beinu b'rishu rabban." This that we permitted a person to dig and then build the wall between himself and rishu rabban, which we had said was because it doesn't look like he's trying to fix up his land, because it's at the edge of the field. It's pretty obvious that he's trying to build a wall. That's only true if it's between him and the Shusha Rabban. As an Rav Fulton explains, is that when it's dueling between him and the Shusha Rabban, it has benefits for the public also. The public gets the benefit of having this wall to not, you know, to know where the end of the Shusha Rabban is. So that's where we let it. But if he was building a wall between him and his neighbor, where you have the same, it's reasonably as clear that the person is doing not to fix the field but to make a fence, even so you're not allowed to do it. Usher b'shvius, you're not allowed to do it on shvius because there's no public benefit from it. So Chacham did not permit it in that case. They only permitted you to do this tircha in a case when it's for the Rosh Hashanah. So one thing he said was that even the walls are only mutter when they're going to the Rosh Hashanah. Aval b'moed, when it's chol moed, as we've seen, many of the halachas of chol moed and shmita are the same. Things that you're allowed to do or not allowed to do on one is the same for the other. But on chol moed, a few b'nev b'nev Rosh Hashanah, so you're not even allowed to build the wall between you and Rosh Hashanah, because that's not mutter on chol moed. Maybe some people say because it's a tircha, or because you could wait. So therefore, you're not allowed to build the war between you and Rosh Hashanah, even between you and Rosh Hashanah on Chol Moed. Now, for the next piece of the Gemara is sort of a continuation of what we're doing. We're going to follow the Girsa of the Pnei Moshe, which is different than the Girsa we have printed Girsa. And it's going to be like this. The Gemara had just said that there's a difference between what you're allowed to do on Chol Moed and what you're allowed to do on Shemitah. This type of building of a wall, you're allowed to build that wall on Shemitah sometimes. You're never allowed to build on a Chol Moed. So, Shemitah was more lenient. The din for Shemitah was more lenient than the din for Chol Moed. So now the Gemara is going to continue on a Mishnah in Moed Katan. The Mishnah in Moed Katan talks about a different kind of a wall, a piritza, when there's like something open up, that you're allowed to build a certain kind of a wall on Chol Moed, and I'm not saying that correctly. You're allowed to build a full wall on Shemitah, and on Chol Moed, you're not allowed to build the wall. You just stack the bricks on top of each other without actually cementing them together. So in that case also, the rule of Shemitah was more lenient. The rules on Shemitah were more permissive than they were during the year. So we say on that Mishnah, which says you should be makron as a piritza b'moed, which is that you could stack up the bricks, the Mishnah said over there, but Shemitah is pointing to that, and on Shemitah you could build as you want to. So the Yerushalmi says, again, according to the Moshe's Girsa, Uber Pirta She'inisav as offer. This that we permit you to build up this, put the wall back up on Shemitah, is assuming that the opening is not stuffed up with dirt. Which is to say, sometimes when you build a wall, you support that wall with a lot of dirt behind it. And had you done that, then the fact that the actual wall is not there is not such a big deal, because the way is blocked anyhow by the dirt. So that's what I'm talking about, that the piritza is not surrounded by dirt. Out of the piritza she saw this offer, a piritza opened that had dirt behind where the wall had been. Also, look, even on Shemitah you can't do it, because you really don't have such a need for that wall, because you really, basically, you have the wall made out of dirt. The Tani, and we learned in our Brisa. Tani came, we learned the Brisa, it says like this, and it said, call piritza she saw this offer. Any piritza that has the dirt that stands in its place, also the good with shvius, you now have to do it. You now have to put the wall on shvius. But she ain't a sugar's offer. If it does not have this dirt behind it, then mutil good with shvius, you'll have to make the wall on shvius. And all of that, these rules that we just said, are b'she'ena machshel says Rabban. That assuming that it's not negatively affecting the public, that you have that you don't have your wall there. Avon machshel says Rabban. If by not having the wall, it's a michshel, it's some kind of a impediment for the public, then al pishi sogas offer, even though you happen to have the dirt there, still much of the going to b'shvias to prevent the michshel for the public. Okay, now the Yerushalmi said this. Rabbi Kiva said, you're not allowed to put the dirt into the Rosh Hashanah Rabban because you're not allowed to do things he said, even to fix up the Rosh Hashanah Rabban. So Fet the Gemara, Fet Yerushalmi Ksiv, the Sam Derech Arena B'Yishal Kim. What are you talking about? We have a pasuk, it's a pasuk in Tehillim that says that if a person makes paths, the Sam Derech, he like sets out paths, Arena B'Yishal Kim, Hashem will show him great salvation, so great Yeshuas. So why are we saying you're not allowed to do things to help fix up the Rosh Hashanah Rabban? No, there's a pasuk that says it's a good thing to do. So the Yerushalmi says, Shanyi Hacha, here it's different, Shutikun v'soifel kilkol, even though he's being misakin, but in the end, there's a kilkol. The person, by having this big pile, is worse. He's not just doing something good for them. This big pile is bad for them. They're actually better off not having that big pile there. So therefore, there's a certain element of tikkun, but there's another part that's a kilkul, and that's why we're not allowed to. And now the Yerushalmi says something. The next piece of the Yerushalmi, according to the way someone really sort of belonged beforehand, and the Gra even actually changes the Gersa to put it beforehand. Because now the Gemara says, the Amr of Shimon Lakish, what this Rav Shimon Lakish is going to support the Gemara's question, which is, really it is good to do things that help the public. And that was sort of like was the basis for the kasha. The Amr of Shimon Lakish, Shaul, the king, Shaul HaMelech, his zechus that he had, that allowed him to become the Melech, he didn't have that El Aideh Shaul, he's a king of Malik Ne'el Aram. Because his grandfather used to light lights for the public, he like make like street lights, and that was his chus. And we're seeing from here also that it's considered very positive for someone who does something for the public, helps out for the public. Nikush Ner, and because of that, he was actually referred to as Ner. People called him that to make this point that he had done this great chesed for people. He put up lights. Where do we see that? Because Kasev Echad Amr v'Ner Hoyle is Kish. One pasuk says that Ner was the one who gave birth to Kish. Kish is the father of Shaul. So Ner gave birth to Kish. For Kasev Echad Amr, another pasuk says that Kish ben Aviel, that Kish was the son of Aviel. So which one is it? So is Kish's father named Aviel or Ner? So the Gemara says, but like Aviel Hoyshmoy, really his name was Aviel. Eladesh Hoy is a Canaan. Manuk Ner Rabin, Nikoshmoy Ner, but he used to have this nickname of Ner because he was the one who used to light lights for the public. And so you see that the pasuk went out of its way to tell us his name to make this point that that was a big schus for him. And in fact, that's why Shaul was zochah to become the king. And Yerushalmi and Tuf, Tzer B'Sech Sedev, you put the piles in your field as the way Keder HaMazabim. So Yerushalmi asks a question, Rav Ovin Boy, he asks the following question. Actually, Pasko of the Avodah, we saw in the beginning of the parak, when the person does these three piles, he's only allowed to do those piles after the people who violate the Dinim of Shemitah stop working in their fields. I mean, while those people are still doing the wrong thing, you're not allowed to put anything in your field, any piles of zevil, because it looks like you might be joining those people who are fertilizing their fields improperly. So you have to wait. So the question is, what about these piles of dirt or rocks? You have to do that also. What happens? Actually, Pascal of the Real Ma'u Litzbar offered himself today, Kedar Chamazabim. Is he allowed to pile them up, Kedar Chamazabim? And Yerushalmi does not answer that question. In other words, we know that you have to do it in the three piles according to the way the rules of the Mishnah, but the question is, you have to, the other rule, which is that you have to wait until the Avodah stop doing their thing.